Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hops and malt and yeast and water dance the merry dance as they ferment, destined for the dimpled tankards of the moon underwater.
I'm Robbie Knox, and I'm the landlord of the Moon Underwater, a mystical place where guests create their dream pub. Oh, hello, Dan. How are you?
Oh, I'm very well, thanks, mate. How are you?
Very good indeed. What have you been up to today?
Not really. I've been doing some watercolours.
Oh, have you? What have you been painting?
The pub.
The pub, okay. Yeah. Again?
The outside of the pub.
The outside? Yeah.
With watercolours.
How did you feel you captured the majesty of it?
No, I mean, I've been painting the outside of the pub with watercolours.
Oh, right.
Have you not noticed?
Oh, I see. The thing about watercolours as an exterior building paint is they don't really stick that well.
Oh,
no, and if it rains, it sort of just goes away a bit.
Yeah.
So people tend to use different paints for that.
Okay.
And also, no one gave you permission to do that, so...
I thought I was being helpful.
On this occasion, not so much. Okay. Do you know what? I saw you yesterday.
Yeah.
You were wandering down to the allotments.
Yes, I was.
I noticed you were carrying a large rug and a Fabergé egg. What was that all about? I'm sure there's a hilarious story around that.
Yes.
Is there?
Yeah,
wow. There is. Wow, it's going to be hilarious. I'll settle in for this.
Okay, well, you know Steve, who's always down at the allotment. Steve the gardener.
Oh, good. Yep.
Yeah. And he grows the pumpkins.
Hmm.
Yep.
A lot more to him, though, isn't there? Olympic fencer.
Yeah. Oh, well, there is the Olympic fencer.
That's the headline for Steve, really, for me. Yeah.
Anyway, Steve's friend...
okay.
Jade,
right?
You know, Jade's quite new age.
Yep.
He's enlisted her because, you know, last year the pumpkin crop failed.
Oh.
You know about that?
Yeah.
Disaster.
Blight, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Pumpkin blight. So he's enlisted Jade to help him kind of talk to the plants this year.
Yep.
And Jade said that what we needed was a carpet so we could kneel on, so we can talk to the plants, the pumpkin seeds. And the Fabergé egg is kind of a gift to the god of nature, Flora.
God, you got some budget for your nature gifts, don't you?
Yeah. I mean, I got a cheap one off of Amazon. I'm hoping it's going to be all right.
Okay.
But, So we knelt down and we buried the little Fabergé egg. And we said some nice things to the ground and hopefully...
Yeah. It's got a different definition to hilarious that I have. If I'm honest, Dan, but never mind.
Yeah.
But, sorry, I don't mean to interrupt. I know you're telling me that story. There's probably the hilarious bit was probably about to come,
wasn't
it?
It was, actually.
Look over the horizon there. Who is that galloping across the fens on a horse?
Is it Alison Spittle?
I think it is. It's the comedian Alison Spittle. Alison!
Hello.
Yeah. Welcome. Come in.
Big stuff it is. Blah, 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 blah. I like to make an entrance into a pub.
Can you leave the horse outside? Just...
No, it's my transport home.
Okay.
And if I drink on the horse, it's not illegal.
Okay.
I think.
How are you, Alison?
I'm not
well?
A lawyer, but I'm really good. I'm really excited about chatting to you.
Thank you.
About pubs. It's going to be fun. And can I say, there's nothing more beautifully intimate than watching two men improv with each other.
Thank
it
good.
Was incredible.
Okay,
it was,
yeah.
It was beautiful to watch.
Thanks. Improv's generous.
Yeah, yeah.
You
yeah.
were so close to each other, and I feel emotionally and physically.
Yeah.
And like, it's just great. Yeah.
Well, we're close in podcasting
and
in real life.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Cool.
Made it sound a bit
good,
weird though,
good,
though
good.
Did I? A little bit.
we'll talk about that later.
Okay, yeah. That's good. Whereabouts did you grow up, Alison?
I grew up, so I was born in England, and I moved over to Germany for a little while and then to Ireland. Most of my time in Ireland. The accent is Irish. Therefore, I belong to Ireland.
And where did you have your early pub experiences?
Oh, everywhere. I remember I was trying to think of my earliest pub memories. And so my dad is English and my mum is Irish. And there's two very different pub experiences there. And my earliest memory of a pub is, I think it's called... The Royal Oak, no, it wouldn't be called the Royal Oak because it was an Irish pub. I feel like it wouldn't be called that. But there's a definite tree involved. Or maybe it's because it's in Cricklewood. Maybe I just made up the whole oak thing because it was in Cricklewood. But it was an Irish pub in Cricklewood. And I volunteered myself to do karaoke. I wanted to do, I think it was Shampoo Trouble. And the person who ran the karaoke machine said they didn't have that. And for some reason, I took it very personally, went into the bathroom and cried. And then started booing a man who sang My Way. The Frank Sinatra version, not Limp Bizkit. And the DJ then scolded me from the DJ booth, the microphone. And,
what age would you be at this?
I had to be very young. Okay. I mean, come here, I was emotionally unstable enough that Shampoo not being on karaoke was it. And I blamed a poor innocent bystander who was just trying to sing My Way. And I took my anger out on him. I must have been about 4 or 5, I'd say. I'm very used to being in pubs like as a kid. Like I have big pub memories. I think it's because of like... the diaspora and all that stuff.
I bought Trouble by Shampoo when it came out.
Did you?
And I was going on a flight and I had a like Discman type CD player thing like that. And I listened to it so much. Just that was all I had to listen to. I just listened to it for an entire flight, just repeatedly. Shampoo Trouble till I hated it by the end of it. I'm back to loving it now.
Yeah, but I can see that. I can see how that would happen. But no, it was karaoke. And I do want to apologize that he's probably dead now, that man. Because he was quite... Maybe he wasn't old. Because
you know
when you're a kid,
everyone seems old when you're 4.
He's probably 36. Yeah. And I was like, this man is for the grave.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had
a
teacher at school. And I remember she... In our head, she was like the oldest person we knew.
Yeah.
But she probably was in her 50s or something like that in hindsight. We thought she was old. I remember one day she said that she spent... At the weekend, she'd been out with her mum. And that blew our minds. We were like... What? You have a mum who is alive? How old is this woman? Sort of thing, she's probably 70 or something, but at the time it seems so utterly ridiculous. What were the first times you went into pubs as a sort of, I'm going to say adult in the loosest possible sense, but there for drinking purposes?
For drinking. Yeah. I would say I was about 14. I grew up in a village where there's 8 pubs and 1 shop. So there's quite a lot of pubs. And there was...
This is Ireland, I'm guessing.
Yeah, this is Ireland. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Sorry, this is Ireland.
We didn't really need to say that, but yeah.
Yeah, so I wouldn't get served because I'm quite short, and also people were aware how old I was. So I'd have to get a drink off someone, maybe who was 16 or 17, who was just underage enough that the bar person thought, look, I'll give it to you, it's fine. Yeah. But 14 is a step too far. So I used to get absolutely blathered. In
drink of choice in those days,
WKD or Fat Frog,
what's Fat Frog?
Oh, but let's say Fat Frog.
Oh yeah, okay. Right. I'll say yes. Yeah, so
that sounds mysterious.
So it would be Alka Pops. It would be Alka Pops. Would be the drink of my choice. I quite liked them. I never moved beyond Alka Pops, which is quite a shame.
What was the once you were getting ID'd and stuff? What was the ID of choice when you were growing up? Because when
when Dan and I were young in grew up in England.
Yes. Were you driving license or?
Well, driving licenses didn't have
pictures
on, so you could fabulous. Take a drive. So all you had to do is get anyone's drive. You had to be close enough for it to be semi believable.
Yes,
and then you just had to memorize the skills
your mum's driving license.
No, it had to be someone. To be someone like someone's older brother or something. You'd take this and you had to memorize it. But they'd ask you questions like, "Go, what star sign are you?" She'd have to. So, and your first trip, you get caught out, and you'd be like, "I don't know." And then you come back, and go, "I'm actually Pisces." Mm.
So, my idea of choice was, please, come on, please, I won't get sick. Begging. I promise. Yeah, that was my idea of choice. But then, like, because I was born in Britain, I opted for the British passport because I thought. Like, what's going to change in the next year? It's going to be
seems
fine.
Seems safe, didn't it?
Seems totally safe. So I opted for the British one. Big mistake. And I'll tell you this story. I once went to a pub and I had an arcade in the back. And I thought, oh, this is great. But I had quite a lot of like posters of political prisoners. So I was like, this is quite strange. This is in Ireland. It was a big IRA pub. And I was 18 at the time. And I was thinking, do I show my British passport? And then I'm like, but I really want a drink, so I might as well. Yeah. So I gave my British passport to the barmaid who had a T-shirt with a picture of Nelson Mandela shaking hands with Jerry Adams while wearing a gun belt at the same time.
Wow.
And she was very nice. There was nothing, you know. But I did G myself up a bit. I was like, okay.
You really, really wanted to have a drink.
Oh,
you?
I did. Yeah, I really hammed up the accent as well. I thought, I'm definitely Irish.
Yeah. With the fiddle coming in.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. But that was a great drink, actually. Had a great time. It was wonderful.
Oh, wonderful. What was the village that you first started drinking in, or town?
Ballymore. So it's they call it the village with two ends and no middle, which means I live in the middle. So I don't know what that was saying about my estate. But like there was a few local pubs. There was different vibes for different pubs. There was one pub, now it's closed down, but that's kind of where you would get your underage drink. And then there was another pub that had a pool table and a jukebox. So that was the young people's pub. And there were other pubs kind of dotted around the place that you'd go to different like 18ths or 21sts and stuff. So it'd be good fun. Yeah. But they're like, I was never into Guinness. I'm still not into Guinness. So I never really went near the drafts or anything. I never knew where was a good place for a drink because I would drink absolute swill.
Yeah.
Like it never mattered
to
me.
Didn't really care.
Yeah.
So did you become a connoisseur in Alco Pops? Like people talk about Guinness, you can go, this pub, honestly, the Smirnoff Ice has travelled so well.
Yeah, well, it's the price as well. It's like, because I started drinking during a time of great economic boom in Ireland. Like life was fantastic, people were drinking like quite expensive stuff like champagne, and Grey Goose vodka was a big thing. But for me, my expensive taste, I will get on to Fat Frog in a minute, but that was my champagne of Alco Pops. And then
that's their tagline.
Oh, it is the champagne of Alco Pops. But I my dad lives in England, so I would go over for summers over to England, and I would see the difference in pubs and the difference in Alco Pops. You got a Woody's grapefruit used to be a thing. Oh, it was fantastic. Mm-hmm. Or a Bacardi Breeze or watermelon is truly the king of kings.
Yeah.
Like genuinely, it is an amazing drink.
Whereabouts was he in?
Reading. And but like I used to go to football with him a lot. Yeah. So most of the pubs would be around like West Bromwich. So be like Divine. The types of pubs around West Bromwich you would get like I think they're like Desi pubs.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Like you know, you just get an amazing curry at 11 a.m. and a big pint of cider. And that was the way me and Dad bonded. You know, it was beautiful, beautiful times.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, we'll get on to designing your dream pub. But first of all, Dan has a bell that he would like to tell you about.
Oh, wonderful.
This is my bell.
It's a real bell.
It's a real bell.
Where
did you get it from, Dan?
I got it from a tugboat on the estuary.
Wow.
It's been abandoned in the correct realm. And I boarded.
It was abandoned.
Yeah, and I boarded and I found it and I liberated it. and it now acts as a sign that when one of your choice, you make a choice of your drinks for your pub,
yeah,
it means that that choice is going to appear in front of us magically on the bar.
Oh my God.
Do you just want to see how it sounds?
Oh my God. Yeah. You're a genuine pirate.
Yeah.
This is fantastic.
I am. Yeah.
Arr. Oh, wow.
What's your first choice of draft thing?
First choice of draft, Lucky Saint.
Oh.
I love... Oh, we got it! Oh, my God!
Wow, that was a rapid bell.
Okay,
unbelievable.
Okay, while this is materialising, I can see it shimmering.
Yeah.
It sometimes takes a while to materialise in front of us.
So I've taken off my coat for this.
Oh, wonderful.
Oh, beautiful.
I'm delighted with this.
This stuff is the bomb.
It's good.
I love it.
Would you like a glass?
Yeah, I would.
This is ice cold as well.
It's fantastic.
I'm so excited by this.
In this realm, it's the morning, and I'm half. I mean, it's 0.5, but you know, still.
Well, the Moon Underwater recently has been quite kind about giving us non-alcoholic beers in the morning, sort of thing. But this is 0.5%, so it's low alcohol beer. What is it you like about Lucky Saint?
I like it because I do the Edinburgh. I've really like you said. I drink quite a lot.
You're more used to pouring alcohol.
Yes, I am. Yeah. I am.
Quite the head on that. There we
are. Yes, quite the head. So what I love about Lucky Saint is for the past two Edinburgh Fringes, I have you must get this a lot on your podcast, but I have a weird relationship with alcohol, as in I'm very good at being drunk. I love being drunk. Very bad at being hungover.
Yeah.
And but I like the taste of Alka-Pops, so I'll drink an alcohol. Well, now I'm older.
Mm.
Alka-Pops are like disgusting and full of sugar.
Yeah.
But so I've never really got past the point beyond Alka-Pops. But until I haven't given up drink. It's hard because I have friends that are alcoholics and I don't drink, but I can't talk to them and go like, yeah, it's I don't drink either because it's like I'm not addicted to it, so it's not like I feel like a stolen valor.
Yeah.
Do you know what
I
mean?
Yeah.
Like I feel like it's really hard for people to give up, but it's not for me. But this stuff, this Lucky Saint, it's the my granddad's really into beer, my dad's really into beer. Like they'll just have big chats naming out these names of bishops and all these different cans and stuff. But with me, I never got quite into beer before I decided. Drinking alcohol on a regular basis just wasn't my bag. But this Lucky Saint, I tried it because I was sick of drinking water.
Yeah.
I was sick of drinking Coke. And I tried Lucky Saint and I was like, this is amazing. It tastes good. This tastes so good that I'm excited about doing beer again. Because I never got into beer. I tasted a Guinness once and I said, this is like drinking baby food through an iron sieve. It's disgusting. It's so, the thickness, it's just not, the viscosity of a Guinness freaks me out. Like, it just absolutely freaks me out. I know with this accent, that is disgusting to say, but I just don't like Guinness. Yeah. Don't like Guinness.
You know when you went to that pub and you showed your British passport, did you say really loudly, I hate Guinness as
yeah,
well?
Yeah, I think that would have been worse. Yeah. I'm not a fan of it. I like it aesthetically. I like the ritual. I like the ritual of pubs, and I love I love people going, oh, I just want to have a lovely pint of Guinness and a read of a book, and if I enjoyed Guinness, I'd like to do that too. And I feel like drinking water in a pub. Do you know what I really love in a pub is tea, I can see that the barmen absolutely hate me.
Yeah.
Do you know, because they
it takes
have
a lot
to
of time.
Go.
And everyone else is waiting for a drink as well.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm the enemy of everyone.
Then. Yeah.
But this Lucky Saint, it tastes good. I like it. When you go to Edinburgh Fringe, like life is exciting. There's so many possibilities. You're absolutely pissing money out of yourself, you know? And I just think a nice drink of Lucky Saint really makes me feel better. And I like being around people. Because the way that people drink in Edinburgh, a lot of my friends aren't finished work until I mean, their hour of work that day, until like 10:30 at night. So then you start kind of decompressing and socializing at 11 p.m. And then you get home at 5. And like, you know, I think with a lucky saint, it just feels great. And I love being there. And it just reminds me of, hope. About comedy and stuff. So I love lucky saint.
That is nice.
Do you drink alcohol at all now?
I went to a bottomless brunch in Butlins and I did drink there. But it didn't make me feel good.
No, but that's it, yeah. I feel a little more tactical about it now, certainly at my age. Like, I will still drink, but I'm now aware that if I drink, tomorrow's going to be horrible.
Yeah, and it's horrible for me in the way that it lasts for like 2.5 days.
Yeah.
You know, and it's that depression thing as well. There's a bit of depression after it. I feel it anyway. Like, I feel like, why am I sad?
Slight and then it's regret,
like,
isn't it?
Yeah, and it's like, because I had 4 woo-woos at a brunch, you know? Like, if I enjoyed the taste of alcohol, if I enjoyed alcohol more, I think I would drink it more. But it's hard to experiment when you know what's going to happen the next day.
Yeah.
So, but if it's like a free bar and it's like really expensive stuff, I'm going to do it. You know what I mean? It's like eating duck at an all-you-can-eat buffet.
Yeah.
You know, I know it's bad for me. I know it'll make me feel bad, but it feels like I'm getting won over on whoever's serving this to me.
I'll do that with smoked salmon. If I'm at an all-you-can-eat buffet, I'll like eat a salmon.
Oh, it's the high value. It's the high value protein.
I'll be on the Tesco app trying to find out what's the most expensive thing to eat.
Genuinely, you know when you get like a sandwich deal. You know, I go for smoked salmon or prawns.
Yeah.
Sometimes I want a ham, but I won't let myself have a ham.
Because you're not getting the money's worth.
No, I'm not. I might as well be, you know.
Might as well just throw a fiver down the drain.
Exactly. So, no, it's good taste. I love it. When I'm drinking it now, chatting to you, I feel like someone's going, oh, there's an exec there in the corner. Ignore them. Do you know? Like that kind of thing. Or people bitching about, getting reviews. That's what it feels like. I remember once my friend went, I can't remember what publication it was, but they went, they've treed me. And I was like, what does tree mean? And he's like, give me 3 stars. But he delivered it with the way that, like, it's like someone stabbed me in the spleen. You know? How dare they? Yeah.
It's lovely Edinburgh, isn't it? The vibes there during the festival is so nice.
Oh, it's amazing. It's amazing because, like, for me, I've had such terrible Edinburghs at the start. I just, the first show I ever did in the Edinburgh Fringe Festival was called Alison Spittle Needs an Agent, which was a cry for help that went very much unheard for a couple of years. And I was giving out like headshots of me and I'd be like, and I had a documentary crew following me from Ireland, and the documentary ended in me crying into the camera, going, I haven't validated myself as a comedian. It was so bad. Like, I cancelled 20 of my gigs because no one turned up.
Oh.
One time, 2 people turned up, but they sat opposite sides of the, because they weren't together.
They're not married now or anything?
No. And one woman wasn't laughing for about 20 minutes. And I was like, is everything okay? And she's like, I don't speak English, but I'm having a good time. And I was like, thank you.
So if anyone's there, you do the show.
Yeah.
But you're not going to go through if no one's there.
Absolutely. So, but I'm having nice Edinburghs now.
That's good.
So I like, and I do enjoy drinking with funny people and being around funny people. And like, I find like my relationship with alcohol, I just have really good memories of like, being around my aunts and my mum when they would like buy a bottle of wine and trauma dump on each other. But I just trauma dump sober now, so I don't need that. Do you know what I mean?
Are there specific pubs and bars that comedians go to in Edinburgh, or do different people go to different ones every year, or are people creatures of habit? How does it work?
Yeah, there's a few bars that come with the venues.
Right.
So like, and they all have different vibes. It all very much depends on, I suppose, the comedians that you're hanging out with, because they can make a vibe of a place. There's a pub that does a Bloody Mary shot, and it's called Brass Monkey, And one time I was walking down to my gig and it was the last day of the Fringe. And I was like, do you know what? Just because I love Bloody Marys.
I love Bloody Marys.
I adore them. And I,
do you have them spicy?
Oh, I'm sorry. You need to, I need to feel nothing. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I need to feel absolutely raw dogs by this. Like, I love it so much. And especially, so I would get a shot and drink it and then just drink it, leave, walk down the hill, go do my gig. I think it's called Brass Monkey. It's got a lot of beds in the back, but it's a, the beds are like terrible to talk to people on. You're just, I feel like I'm in the Big Breakfast.
Yeah.
But they've overbooked the guests and there's about six people lying across each other. But it's great. They do lots of different drinks. but they do, I love the Bloody Mary. Like Bloody Marys would be my favourite. I'm trying to think of other vibes of different places. Sometimes the vibes can be terrible.
Can they?
Yeah.
Why is that?
Because maybe there's like someone big in. And everyone kind of like...
Everyone's on edge.
Oh, right.
Edge. There's that eye flick. I mean, I'm guilty of it too. Like, I hate when comedians bring this up. They're like, I hate when you're in a room and you can see other people's... You can see the person that you're talking to's eyes flick somewhere. And it's like, yeah, like, of course, Eddie Izzard's in the room. Of course they're going to look at her. You know what I mean? Of course they're going to look at her. Like, it's not going to... So, like... But it can be weird sometimes. It depends.
I saw Eddie Izzard riding a bike through Mayfair recently.
That's so cool.
Yeah. I was like, oh, look, it's Eddie Izzard.
Yeah, I know. It's like I saw Benedict Cumberbatch drinking a cappuccino once in a garden centre.
Oh.
And I felt so cool because I was like, ignore. You know what I mean? Don't you feel great when you just leave a celeb be?
I failed that once. I saw Louis Theroux in central London and I saw him come around a corner and I thought, oh, it's someone I know.
Yes.
Because I recognised him and I kind of went, hiya, all right. And then as I did it, I went, no, I don't know Louis Theroux at all.
It's
just Louis Theroux. And he just sort of looked at me like I was crazy and I just...
No!
Walk down my
head. I get that all the time. And like, you know, that's that. Don't feel bad about that.
When I first moved to London in 1999, I went to Notting Hill Arts Club. It's the first time I'd ever been to Notting Hill in my life. Went in there and Hugh Grant was just sitting at the bar having a drink. I thought, this is like I imagined London would be. Hugh Grant just out drinking in Notting Hill. In Notting Hill Arts Club. Yeah.
Wow. Strange. Just like the film.
Yeah. Yeah, amazing. It's like the film. I like a garden centre spot, though. That's good. I like when you see someone out of place.
Yeah, when they're looking at stuff. Once in Ireland, I was dancing with these three guys. I don't know who they were. And then Misha Barton from the OC was also there. So I was just dancing. And we both went to the toilet at the same time. And I was in the cubicle next to her. But we hadn't spoken. But there was a mutual kind of like, you know. And then these ladies came up to her and was like, can I get a photo? And she's like, no, please, no. And they were like... They were then admonishing her. They were like, I thought you were cool.
And I she went, I don't want a photo in the toilet.
Yeah, that's what she basically said. And I got out of the toilet like, leave her alone. And I never said another word to her. And, you know, and I felt really cool. Yeah.
I once bumped into...
I love this, Jack.
I once bumped into former Blackburn Rovers footballer Francis Benali. I'm thinking of
Stuart Ripley?
Nope.
Tim Sherwood.
No.
David Batty.
No.
David
More Batty. Obscure, more obscure.
Jason Wilcox.
No.
Graham Lasso.
No.
That era?
Yeah.
Colin Hendry.
No.
David May.
No. Incredible knowledge of Blackburn Rovers.
Yeah. Nope.
Tim Flowers?
No.
Tim Flowers.
Defender, I think, maybe.
I've run out of Blackburn defenders from that era.
Well, the same thing, I forgot who it was at the time as well. Yeah. He'd been on the Soccer AM, the show I used to work on at the time. Yeah. And he'd been on a few weeks before. And I knew I recognised him. I was chatting to him for ages. And then it was only in this Solihull Tesco's. And it was only when after about 5 minutes of talking to him that I remembered who he was. And then I kept using his name too much.
Yes.
I just suddenly remembered. Yeah. So-and-so.
Love that.
I'm going to be thinking about this for the rest of the podcast, so you're not going to get much out of me for the remainder. Sorry, as I try to remember who this Blackburn footballer was. Dan, you're thinking about it too.
Yeah, I am. Yeah.
What's your other choice on draft?
My choice on draft is Tango Ice Blast.
I've seen this. This is like a... It's like a slushy of that, tango. Is that correct?
I think it qualifies as a draft.
You have to pull a lever. If you're pouring a thing and it comes out, that's play on in my book.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, any pub that has a lucky scent, I'm like, yes. Anyway, sorry. Yes. Sign of quality to me. But imagine if they had a tango ice blast machine. So because I'm a kind of like a semi non-drinker, I've explored the realms of non-alcoholic beverages, and I think a tango ice blast is an amazing beverage to have. I think it shouldn't be just kept to cinemas. I think it should be open to pubs.
Yep.
Wouldn't there be nothing more fun than holding a massive tango ice blast in your fist while chatting to your mates, you know? Because they come in like nearly 1 foot kind of plastic packaging, and sometimes they're grooved to your own hand.
I was at Gravity Trampoline Park at the weekend and they were selling them there.
Really?
£5 it was. I've got three kids. I'm not buying them all that.
Oh my God. That's
that's unlimited though. That's as much as you can drink. Oh. I don't want them to drink
how
that much.
Are you
drink? They're going to physically get at least a headache.
Especially
with your history of making sure you get your money's worth out of buffets.
Come on, have another five kids. Yeah. We've got to get our money's worth. until we've gone blue.
I'd never heard of it, but apparently it's the UK's number one fizzy iced crystal drink.
I can see how.
It's number two.
I don't know.
What? Maybe Slush Puppy. Slush Puppy used to be the kind of brand.
Rest on its laurels.
But it looks like they've properly taken Slush Puppies onto a new level, from what I can tell.
There are other ones like Slurpees and Icy Joes and different ones. Yeah. But like I can see, maybe it's the cinema aspect of why Tango Ice Blast has really taken over. But I like the flavorings. I like the cherry. And I like the blue. I don't know what the blue is.
I think it's cola.
The blue is cola.
Because I read a thing that said there was a, because I was looking at some of their marketing marketing said, it's blue, but it tastes like cola. It's blown my mind. And I thought, we had blue cola things when I was a kid 30 years ago.
So. Wow.
Blue's quite often the colour of raspberry. It's raspberry, isn't it? Which doesn't make sense.
No.
What WKD, is that kind of like a blue raspberry vibe?
Yeah.
I don't think that's any... taste I've ever tasted other than WKD.
It's petrol raspberry, is it?
We're getting hints of chemicals.
So like I love an ice blast, and I think this should be available in pubs, and this is my own pub. So I thought, why not have an ice blast machine? And I would have a Cardi Breezer watermelon flavour if I could choose.
I love this from you, Alison, that you are going, do you know what? It's my pub. I'm not going to be bound by convention.
Yeah.
I'm going to take the best bits of cinemas and put them in the pub.
I think so. And also, like, I would just be a liar to you to pick a draft ale or something. You know,
I love it.
I'm sure there's other options. Is it the only two that's available? Because other people might not be happy with this, but I will be happy.
But that's the point, you know.
Yeah. That's true.
And you'll get the people that agree with you coming into your
pub. Does my business fail? Is there a chance of the pub closing down?
No. There's no risk of that. There'd be extensive government subsidies.
For my tango ice blast. Fabulous. Yes.
Well, I think you're on safe ground, because 81% of 19 to 21-year-olds in the UK would rather have tango ice blast than any other frozen drink.
Well, who surveyed that? Is this like...
That's just a stat I found.
It's the stat from Tango Ice Blast.
If you get into polling as a job and you think you're going to be investigating, like, who's going to be the next government in this, and you get there and they said, go and find out what 19 to 21-year-olds in the UK, what their favourite frozen drink is.
It's quite a narrow thing, 19 to 21, isn't it?
That means they've asked loads of people... And this is the only tiny category they've won in.
Yeah, because everyone else is Slush Puppy.
Yeah.
Because no one really does have a favourite.
Or just margaritas.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Do you ever go to pubs where they have frozen cocktails?
Yeah. And I prefer that.
Because I love it.
I don't want, if someone's ordering a cocktail, good for them. I don't want to wait in the bar while someone does that.
Yeah, you're right. But I love the drama of watching someone shake something.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because I'm the one I was buying cocktails.
It's fine in a cocktail bar, but if you're in a pub and there's one person serving and you just want to get one drink or something like that, and then someone orders four different cocktails and you're there for 10 minutes.
Yeah. Cocktails are really like alka-pops for people who've given up on life. Like, you know,
More sophisticated alka-pops, perhaps.
Yeah, that's a better way of putting it.
Yeah. given up on life, been successful in life. I mean, yeah, yeah, yeah.
One or the other.
The same. Yeah. Either or.
Given up because they've done so well. I'm done.
Yeah. God, you've just given up with your massive house.
Yes. Yeah. And your espresso martinis.
Yeah. Alison, Ireland's favourite is famous, sorry, for its pubs.
Yes.
What makes a good Irish pub?
Irish pub. It's interesting because I've been around, I haven't been around the world. I've been to North Africa and bits of Europe, right? But the interesting branding of an Irish pub. So I went to Madrid last month to go to a wedding, and I found an Irish pub, and I had a look inside, and what made it Irish was they had reenacted an Irish phone box, like from the 90s, and I was like, is this Irish? And they have obviously like Guinness and all that kind of thing. What makes a good Irish pub? Do you know what I tell you the difference that I found between like British pubs and Irish pubs?
Yeah.
Sometimes, so I think I like Irish pubs a little bit more, but I like aspects of British pubs. What I like about British pubs is a lot more activities. You know, there can be board games, there can be pub quizzes, there can be like, you know, different meetings and stuff. And I find that quite nice. The thing about Irish pubs, once I was in this English pub with my Irish side of my family, and after a few drinks, everyone starts to sing. So it'll be everyone hushes in the corner and one person will sing. And a barmaid came over and pointed over to a sign that said no singing.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is disgusting. I just couldn't get over. I didn't know why. I felt like I was in Footloose. It just felt wrong. I do think... in an Irish pub, there's a lot of music. Now, this can range from six people with fiddles and bowerons and stuff and doing a session, like a trad session, which is fun. Or it could be one single man with a keyboard and a dream. You know, just he'd be playing Dire Straits. It would be, and I love both of those people, you know, that type of music. And furniture wise, I don't think there's much difference. Would you say, like, I think it's all like just wood paneling and stuff. I think I think an Irish pub is get a few stouts, some sort of Irish paraphernalia, maybe a picture of the Pope or Jackie Charlton, both are saints in our country. And what I love, there was a pub in Mullingar, which is a big town next to me, and they had a yard that people could smoke in, but also, I think a big thing about Irish pubs is the massive smoking areas.
Right, okay.
Because when I started drinking, that's when the ban on cigarettes in pubs came in. And you could see the pubs that had prepared just before the financial breakdown of Ireland and the pubs that had to sort out stuff after. So I have had an Alka Pop and a Benson & Hedge in some of the most luxurious places you'll ever see. The decking is incredible. The staining, just beautiful. The structure just about legal. You know, it would have like 6 inches of air and heaters. And and once I was in this place in Mullingar, and they had a load of beds in a yard that was supposed to give LA luxury. But after about 6 months, you know, they were damp beds.
Yeah,
that people
just horrible sat, damp.
Yeah,
beds.
That people just smoked cigarettes on, and it was really horrible. It looked it was just like 16 destitute people who were dressed up quite nice, but smoking out of bed.
I've not been to LA since the 90s, but I don't remember
I've
being
never
like that.
Been.
I don't think it was like that.
I think there was a place called Bed. I've listened to podcasts where Paris Hilton has been, and like their big thing was there was beds in the nightclub. And I think entrepreneurs from different, like, this must have happened in Britain as well, where they've heard of a place and they're like, oh, they got beds there, that's the thing. And then they just shove a bed in a pub. Oh, but to go back to the story about the yard, So there was this pub called McCormick's. It's now gone. RIP. Loved it. But the mother of the landlord, the mother of the barman, she used to make potato cakes in the back with big slabs of butter. So they were the most amazing meals you'd ever have, of these potato pancakes.
Yeah.
That as a young person, I just couldn't get over that. Yeah. You would have such kindness in a pub. Yeah. It was amazing. Yeah. Sorry, I go on tangents all the time, but I hope I've answered your question.
Yeah, I can't remember what it was, but I'm sure you have.
Is this a good beer to you? Because you drink beers.
I like it. Yeah. It's nice. I have it.
I like it. Is there anything like this that I could explore?
There's other non-alcoholic beers.
Could I?
So there's a company called Big Drop.
Yeah.
They do loads of them.
Very nice.
Do you know, I'm even open to alcoholic beers. I'm going to ask you for a list of like how to get into beer.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
We'll do that. We could do it on the podcast around for your Patreon.
I feel under pressure on the podcast. Yes. I think people are going to judge.
I'm a wild horse. Break me in. Break me in.
Okay. Wonderful. Another horse reference to this podcast. Very horse heavy episode.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Bottles or cans now?
Please get out your bell if this is the case with Bacardi Breeze or watermelon.
I think I can hear bell noise.
It's hard because Bacardi Breezes were discontinued in 2015. So even in the correct realm, the magic only extends so far.
Wow.
It's a disgrace.
Yeah.
Were you aware they were gone?
Yeah. But like...
She was hoping.
I was thinking if there's any podcast that I could go on that might be able to get me a Bacardi Breeze or watermelon. I thought it would be this one.
Well, there's been they're just calling them breezers.
Right.
They are coming back.
They're coming back.
Yeah, and there is a crisp watermelon flavour.
Oh my God, because I went to Waitrose years ago for Christmas, because I drink at Christmas, but I'm such a bad drinker. Like, literally, my poor granddad, when he buys himself the best of like ales and beers and ports and everything, and he'd be like, what do you want? I was like, oh, maybe a Krabby's, maybe a lemon. But I went into Waitrose looking for a Bacardi Breeze or watermelon, and the lady laughed at me.
Yeah.
And I felt very ashamed.
No, you shouldn't. You feel ashamed.
I know, but I.
But is she just laughing because they haven't been in the shops for a while, rather than this person wants to drink Bacardi
Breezes.
Genuinely,
I took it as either it was a personal slight on me or anti-Irish prejudice.
Could be both. Just say what a funny accent you've got. Yeah.
But because I love Bacardi Breezers because you couldn't get them in Ireland, so they felt like something exclusive. And like when I brought my friends over to Newcastle for a night out, because we all watched Geordie Shore and we decided we want to recreate Geordie Shore by going to Tiger Tiger, which wasn't as fun as Geordie Shore made out.
Really?
Yeah. Do you know, because the cool thing about watching men on cocaine on TV is they're far away from you, but like live doesn't feel, you know, it's like being in with tigers, you know, it's like watching a,
and it only lasts about an hour.
But back to the Bacardi Breezers. I gave them Bacardi Breezers and they were like, this is the greatest drink I've ever had. And I felt like so worldly. Yeah. It's a great drink.
Try this local delicacy.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. Bacardi Breezer. Or like a woo-woo. They didn't have woo-woos in Ireland. We have a thing called West Coast Cooler in Ireland that you don't have over here, which is like a white wine spritzer. Oh. And I think the British palate would like it. I think it's something that we could share as well as Guinness. But it is quite sweet.
Okay.
Dan, what do you know about Bacardi Breezers?
They were one of the first Alco Pops, and they kind of took the
original.
Although you know, I didn't know this.
Yeah.
But companies have never liked them being called Alco Pops. All of the Alco Pops people did not like it being called that. They're the ready to drink market.
What? But everything is ready to drink. Like,
what isn't ready to drink?
Even raw gin, if you're sad enough, exactly. Is
apart
ready
from
to
when
drink.
You order your tea.
Yeah. But like, yeah.
I mean, and it's still, I think in still parts of the world, they do still exist.
Okay.
And there's like flavours, lemon, peach, lychee, pineapple, lemon raspberry,
and peach,
blueberry.
Or peach?
Separate, yeah.
I would drink a peach one. That sounds nice.
Well, Wikipedia says that in some areas, I haven't been able to verify this, that there is a chocolate flavour.
No.
Which sounds really weird. A chocolate Bacardi Breezer? I don't know.
It sounds like
Could that work?
It sounds like a horrible euphemism for
Would
something.
Would it be? Yeah.
Would it a be? Bad case of the chocolate Bacardi
Breezer. Yeah. But you're not alone in people missing them.
Okay.
I found a change.org petition in Australia.
Wow.
From Emily C. And Emily C, this was in 2020, and she wanted to bring back Bacardi Breezers to Australia. And she got 98 signatories with a goal of 100.
I can sign it. Between us all, we can get it.
I mean, this isn't the cause for me, but Dan.
I'll help out.
Thank
But there were two comments on it said why people signed. Alan Charlton said, I'm thirsty, and Leanne Gibbons said, Leanne Gibbons.
I think Leanne Gibbons had a Bacardi Breezer at that point. Amazing.
Oh, fabulous.
Yeah.
I adore it.
Okay, well, that Bacardi Breezers will be brought back for your Moon Underwater because we have that virtual power.
Yes.
I'm so excited about this. I'm going to mix the Bacardi Breezers with the Tango Ice Blast.
Brilliant.
It's going to be a joy.
Amazing.
It's going to be a joy.
What's your second bottle or can?
My second bottle is a Fat Frog.
The mysterious Fat Frog, but I don't know what it is.
So,
before you explain, can I say what I thought it was? Because I'd never heard of it.
Really?
So I Googled it.
Okay.
And it isn't. The first thing that came up isn't what I think isn't what you're suggesting. So you can tell me if...
Yeah.
Because what I think of Fat... Or what the first thing that came up for Fat Frog was it's sort of a cocktail.
Yes.
And it's one bottle of Smirnoff Ice, one bottle of Bacardi Breezer Orange, and one bottle of Wicked Orange... Sorry, Wicked Blue. Original Blue. Is that...
Well, you see, that was the... So there are two types. So that's the cocktail that inspired...
Right. Wow.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't realize.
There's an origin story.
Yeah. Like, once again, when we were talking about, like, how there was quite a lot of money floating about in Ireland when the financial crisis hadn't happened yet, people were drinking a thing called Fat Frog, which was the original Blue Wicked, your orange Bacardi Breezer, and a Smirnoff Ice, right? This would give a glowing green pint. It would look almost nuclear. Like, it was fantastic. You'd feel like a Teenage Mutant Hero Turtle drinking this pint. And it cost, I think, like nearly €20 at the time, which would be...
Which is nothing in those days.
Nothing, yeah. But after the financial crisis, they were never to be seen again. You'd never see anyone with a green pint.
So how did that work?
It was not feasible.
Would you literally go to the bar and order a
fat frog?
And
they would come in, so you'd have to do it with a pal. because there's 2 pints. You'd end up with 2 pints of green liquid. So I'd be like, oh, do you want to get, I'll get this fat frog, you get the next one. And so then you'd go up and you'd order a fat frog and he'd go, okay. And he'd pull out 2 pints, fill it up with ice. And then like just put half, half. And it would depend on, you know, no 2 fat frogs ever really looked the same. There'd be a different hue of green. And like as the buyer, it's my choice what one I get, you know. So I assess the green.
There's a rich history to the fat frog, isn't there? A lot of culture that we're learning about here.
I feel
like an explorer.
Yeah. Do you? Learning. Oh, that's cool.
Like, what's the word? What's the word for someone who investigates like tribes and stuff?
Oh, like an...
I keep thinking paleontologist, but that's dinosaurs.
No, I know what you mean. Anthropologist.
I feel like an anthropologist. Beautiful. I can't even say it, but I feel like it.
Yeah, yeah. No. Well, I will learn about beers from yeast. So I'm excited.
So the fat frog then became an alcopop.
Yeah, so you could buy it in a bottle. And when I saw that, I was like, this is incredible. Normally, the bottles I think you get are liters. So it would be like, I would bring them to a house party. That would be the type of like... I'd bring a bottle of them.
Wow.
Would it be a litre? Half a litre. Let's see how.
Okay.
It's in my fist like that.
I could probably a litre.
Yeah. So I'd bring them to a house party. That and a bottle of Buckfast would be the choice of drink.
Oh.
Have you had people talk about Buckfast on your podcast?
My family is from Scotland, so I'm very familiar with the commotion lotion.
Oh, they're beautiful.
I thought it was a breakfast shake.
It can be you get the breakfast shakes, that's for sure.
Quite the start to your day. The start. And we had this thing like Buckfast was a house party drink, so you would bring it because when the financial downturn happened, pubs kind of closed and people couldn't afford to go to pubs, so there was a lot more house parties, and then they kind of came back. So I've seen a rise and fall of like super pubs. Like there was a lot more pubs in my village when I was younger, and a lot of them are closed now. I think there's 2 left now, but there's the outer shells of a lot of pubs are in my village, but they don't exist as a.
Okay.
And even at that now, they're not open every day, and they're not open during the day. And the pubs used to be like a constant hub of, you know, just getting stuff done. And the barman, like I remember I voted for someone in local council because he gave me a lift from the pub often, you know. And I was like, he's a good guy.
Yeah. I think that's a decent rule.
I did not agree with it politically. Yeah. I'll give him a vote. Okay. But like, you know, it seemed nice. So like back in the day, when I was young, when I was just about able to drink, times were good, and then it was back to house parties. So Buckfast was a great choice. You'd have to, we called the thing, you know, there's like kind of debris at the bottom of a Buckfast. We called it toenails, and we'd give it a shake.
Nice.
And then drink it. Yeah. Quite vile, actually,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah. How are you thinking you'd serve your fat frogs in your pub? Would you go back to the original proper pouring, or would you get the cans that exist?
I think I'd like to go back to the proper pouring. Yeah.
And would
like
you have watermelon? Would you mix it up?
Oh, imagine that. But that would be brown, wouldn't it? That'd be like a fat toad, wouldn't it?
Well, there you go. You can have fat frogs and fat toads.
Fat toads.
Yeah.
Such euphemisms here.
Such a lovely visual image.
Why don't you pop out a fat toad on the bar there for me, sir? The usual.
Okay, phones away, put a gag on Siri, it's quiz time. Elvis's black belt was in karate. I saw it on QI. No half points for saying J.K. Rowling is the lead singer of Jamiroquai.
Moira Stewart.
No, I'm afraid it was Gordon Honeycomb.
Do you enjoy a pub quiz?
I love a pub quiz. Very competitive. I'm a horrible... I hate what it brings out in me, but I love a pub quiz.
You're going to love this then, because Dan has got a pub quiz for you.
Amazing. Yeah. This is my favourite aspect of pubs. Is
oh, really?
Yeah. I love it.
Great. Because we're going to compete here, because I don't know what this... I don't know the answers to this.
Yep.
Right, okay.
So let's see. Got to try and thrash Robbie. So you hosted a podcast called Wheel of Misfortune.
I did.
Yeah?
I did, yes.
And so I like to slightly tailor the quizzes to...
to my needs. Is it going to be about wheels?
No, it's just going to be... I could have done it about wheels. No, it's about game shows.
Okay, great. Okay, cool.
Or quiz shows. Quiz shows, game shows. Okay. So a bit meta.
Okay.
Quiz about quiz shows.
Fine.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you three questions.
Yeah.
Don't answer. Have a think about them.
Don't answer.
And we'll do in the second half of the podcast.
Yes.
Fair. Okay. This is going to be so hard, though. Can I go, I know it?
Yeah, you can. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Even if you don't, you can say it to psych
out. Yeah. Okay.
Brian Brakely.
Yeah.
Question one.
Yeah.
In the different... There's 5 points on offer for this question. Going in big. In the different incarnations of the Crystal Maze, there have been 5 different time zones. Can you name them all? I'll give a point for each. Okay. Question two. Deal or No Deal made a recent comeback on ITV with Stephen Mulhern as the new host. How many sealed red boxes does the contestant pick from when the game starts?
He's a safe set of hands.
He is,
like,
isn't he?
Anytime I hear he's getting work, I'm like, I'm happy. Yeah. You know? I don't know why. He is my Northern Star.
He's quite happy, isn't he, to take on a beloved game show made famous by someone else and seamlessly slip into it.
Do you know what he's like? He's like a solid stepdad. Yeah. You know? He'll give you a lift home.
You vote for him because
you're the Yeah, I'd vote for him. Yeah. I'd lash out at him emotionally. He'd take it. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I think he would.
I'd apologise to him 6 years later.
And he'd be fine with that.
Yeah, he would be fine with that, yeah.
Yeah.
You're not my real dad.
Yeah.
And question three. Bob Monkhouse, Max Bygraves, Les Dennis, Andy Collins, Vernon Kay, Gino DeCampo.
Yes.
Is the order of hosts for which game show?
I know that one. Okay. I've got to say, Bob Monkhouse, love him.
Oh, yeah.
Loved him so much. Because he had the skin tone of my granddad.
Yeah.
So for some reason, I like held on to it. Do you remember what was it called? Wipeout.
Yes.
Wipeout was a fantastic concept for a quiz show and should be brought back.
Yeah.
Stephen Mulhern, if you're listening.
Yeah, he probably fancies it.
Yeah.
Could you repeat the people again?
So this is the historical order who presented these. So it started with Bob Monkhouse. Then it was singer-entertainer Max Bygraves. Me and my brother and sister were once in a car.
I think you're saying me and my brother and sister were the next host.
We were once in a car. Don't know why I'm telling this story, but we were very little and my mum had gone in somewhere and she said, wait in the car. And there was a security guard. We're in a car park. And me and my brother managed to convince her that the security guard was Max Bygraves because we used to watch this show when we were kids. So we convinced her because she was about 3 years old.
Yeah.
To the point where we managed to convince her to shout out the window, "Hello, Max Bygraves!" at the security guard. And every time I think of Max Bygraves, that's what I think of.
Okay.
Yep.
That's lovely. Yep. For a section of that story, I thought you had convinced your mother.
And no,
I mean,
that would have been better.
How convincing would you be?
Yeah.
She's an adult woman.
Bob Monkhouse, Max Bygraves, Les Dennis, Andy Collins, Vernon Kay, Gino DeCampo.
Okay.
Do you remember who, and then this is not like a slight on Andy Collins, but what did Andy Collins do other than that show? I'm trying to think, because I know the era of Les Dennis, and I feel like, was there a big gap?
He did it for about a year.
So he's the George Lazenby.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I work in TV and he quite often does warm-ups for TV shows I worked on. He's excellent.
The
crowd are like pumped by the end. He does like musical stuff and gets more singing, Queen songs and stuff. But yeah, it's great.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you for that quiz, Dan. It is now time to leave. For those of you who don't support The Moon Underwater on Patreon, if you'd like to subscribe, you can head to moonunderpod.com and sign up to get ad-free extended episodes a day early, a monthly bonus podcast, and access to the Moon Underwater Social Club on Facebook. We'll see you soon in part 2. We will continue creating Alison's dream pub.
Hold up. Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.